Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go before him with our heads bowed. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel like such a privileged people, Lord, to be invited together in the temple, Lord, to hear what you have for us this night.
Yes.
Lord, we really appreciate every opportunity, Lord, that we have together. Lord, we don't know how much longer we can gather like this, Lord, but we appreciate every opportunity we have.
Yes.
Lord, we want to yield to you this night, Lord. Bless these few songs we have to sing, Lord, so that prepares for the hearing of thy word.
Yes.
Lord, which is the most important thing in this life is your word. Lord, just lead us and guide us now by your Holy Spirit. Let your will be done in all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Page 3 in our Only Believe. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his house. happy at heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As happy as heart can be.
Glory.
Amen. He's done so much for us. Like page 374, same book. He's done so very much for us, saints.
Yes.
Amen. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget.
Lest I forget thy love to me.
Lest I forget thy love for thee, Lord. Amen. Lead me to Calvary daily. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 41 of the same book. On the wings of a snow white dove. Amen. Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land and various ways. Troubles he had some, amen, but not from. From above. Amen. God always looks out for his own. Amen. So thankful to him every day for what he's done for me. Amen. And as time goes on, I'm even more thankful. Amen. You see how much more he was in trouble and where he was headed. If he hadn't left it up, you know, the miry clay, where would I have been? Amen. Brother Paul, would you mind taking the offering up again?
Amen. Lord Jesus. Yes. Many things, Lord Jesus. ourselves for that day that's coming. How will we for this now, Lord? Bless these tithes and offerings, just that they will give now, Lord, and bring these up from the Father to the God's name, and may we be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we pray.
Amen. You know, of course, I love so well. I am identified. You proud to be identified with Him?
Amen.
I am identified with Christ. I am crucified. I carry His breath. I'm no
so thankful. As we sing these little songs tonight, it's so wonderful that by the mercy and grace of God that we can be identified with these songs. And more of the words that's in it, it's how inspiring it is. And we greatly appreciate you, Lord, so very much. When we look back through our lives and Lord, where you brought us from, and all you've brought us through, you only can but wonder, Lord, how marvelous your grace is.
Yes.
How tremendous your love must be for your own. Well, Lord, we come to you tonight now again with our request. Lord, as each one raised their hands, or Lord, even maybe in their heart, said and spoke a little few soft words, Lord, I need this. I need that. Lord, you're so great and so powerful. The Father, even as I stand up here tonight and bring these requests before you, Lord, we can speak to you through that great bumper of blood. Lord Jesus, you don't see us. You don't see our past. Lord Jesus, all the past has been put in the sea of your forgiveness. That's wonderful in itself, Lord, to know that you don't want to remember our past. But Lord, we come now and we speak for these people. But Lord Jesus, that you would reach down in each life and each heart, knowing the very desires that they have. Some, Lord, may really be desiring something, oh God, that will draw them closer. It may be something, Lord, that maybe their bodies, they need a healing. It may be possibly a financial need. But Lord, to you, it's all important. And Father, but I pray that truly above everything, we will cry out for revelation more and most than anything. And Lord, these needs, we ask that you would grant our heart's desire now and meet them in a mighty and powerful way. And may we never fail to give you the glory for it and the praise for it and testify of your goodness as we see these things come to pass in our lives. ask, Lord, that you would bless us now. And we don't want to forget Brother Sondra, Lord. As we heard word from them today, we ask that you continue to bless them. Bless Brother Samba, Lord. Heal his legs and make it easier for him to walk. The Lord Jesus, again, he could come back and glorify you and attend the service, Lord, and be blessed by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, our precious Brother Guy Singer, we never want to fail to forget him. And Lord, Sister Marilyn, those that cannot be here due to different situations in their bodies, we ask now that you would touch them, Lord, and heal their bodies. And may they receive a faith, Lord, a revelation that will cause them to rise up and stand upon your word. So we ask now that you bless the service, bless our precious brother as he brings forth the word of God. We appreciate Brother Timothy. Lord, he does so much for the church, and pray you bless it. Bless each one, Lord. May we not be able to say and speak each name. So many do so many things for you, Lord. We pray that their lives will be blessed. And we appreciate you now. Just have your way in all things as we continue to yield to you. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. You may be seated. Young adults used to sing that song, Lord, I feel so humble when I think of your great plan. I feel so humble and thankful tonight for what he's done for me. Amen. Can't remember all that song, but I really like that song. Amen. Does anyone have a song in their heart tonight? Or a special? Anyone know? Page 19, I only believe. God still moves. God still moves.
Yeah.
The capstone books.
Give your right, O Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Let's ask our brother to come. Let's sing that little chorus. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high
about it. Sing it again.
Think about his love.
Yes, Lord.
Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Brought us through. For as high
and grace has allowed us another opportunity, Lord, to feel the sweetness of your precious Holy Spirit. So unworthy we are, Lord, to even stand here tonight. But your grace, Lord, is overwhelming what you've done for us. Lord, through the great love that you've shown to us, may we in some way give you our lives, Lord, to let you express back through these bodies, not what we'll do, Lord, but what you will do through us, that, Lord, it would be to your glory and to your honor, that, the Lord, through a life lived, someone would come to know you in the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your precious, precious presence we feel. Yes. We just commit ourselves unto thee for service and ask your blessings upon your word. Lord, just dear, put it into our hearts in a special way that, Lord, some way we would take something from it that might cause us to draw a little closer to you, to press a little harder, to climb a little higher. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing it one more time. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so so precious, so thankful for what he's done for me, amen, and what he will continue to do by his mercy and grace, amen. While you're standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture this evening, just a little exhortation, praying to strengthen you, maybe encourage you, amen. Just, you know, God's word is so inspired. And as we were talking, as Brother Smith had been here and taking the exhortation he had from the book of Acts, how many things just seem to be a little more illuminated. Some things just jump out at you off the scriptures. God's word is inspired. Every scripture is inspired. And if you look at it in the right manner, with your heart open, asking God for revelation, he'll find something off every scripture to enlighten you. And oh my, we sure enjoy each and every moment we get. Amen. Here in Romans, the 12th chapter, first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Scriptures just come alive when you look at the life Paul had and lived, realizing where he come from and what God allowed to happen in his life before his conversion, and truly seeing Paul knew what grace was. Yeah. And he truly knew what it meant to be high and exalted, and he knew what it meant to be brought down. And he knew to stand in all these places and then to see the grace of God in his life, and how when he could say that, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man. Because it's nothing we've ever done in ourselves to get where we are today. But it was only God's grace and mercy that I understand what little I understand, and have a desire to cry out for a greater revelation of maybe the things that I don't understand. To climb higher and to become more like him. And you know, as our pastor's been bringing many different subjects, and there's so many things that has come over the last couple weeks, and then with Brother George coming and reading the books of Acts, that just kind of just gelled a lot of things together and just kind of created a picture, and you begin to see, we know we're living in the last few moments of time. Amen. We know things are shaping up, we see it happening, but we don't know for sure, we don't have it revealed to us exactly what God will do. It is a work through that little bride right before the appearing of the Lord. We know he's going to manifest his word. And he's going to have a people that will reproduce the exact life that was in this Bible. And that's all we're concerned about. What my portion is in that, God only knows. But God knows what little seed is still laying out there, what person still needs to see something real in a people's heart and lives to catch their attention, to say that out of all that I've heard all my life, there lays a truth in what's been brought. You know, this Bible lays here tonight as a testimony, and it's got all kinds of what people would call stories in it. But every one of them stories has become real and made alive because of a revelation that God has imparted to each one by sending a prophet in this last age and resounding a voice saying, it was the truth what I told you on every line and every page. Don't lose sight, I'm coming again. And I'm coming for a bride that's living by every word. And you know how our attention's pointed back to that book of Acts. And as our precious brother pointed it out, it was the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. And how Brother Branham stressed that many times. And we claim to have the same Holy Ghost they had in that day. What's it doing in my life? What's it doing in your life? Do I see the results that every word is magnified from the littlest, what I might consider the littlest, to the biggest? Does it mean that much to me? Or am I content that, oh, I go to church every time the doors are open? I sing, I praise, I raise my hands, clap my hands. But that's not what we were sent here for. That's part of it. But the results was that the very word that he spoke, as you hear the word, you become the word. And oh my, as we eat upon that precious word, it becomes a living manifestation.
Yes,
and you know, and as Brother Smith kept reminding us of the gentleman that said, preach the gospel everywhere and use the words when necessary. I did a little research on that after hearing him say that. And oh my, a lot of different spinoffs of that. But you know what? God is using a life. The little housewife that's sitting at home, manifesting God's word. Her home's in order. She's caring for her husband. Her children are being taken care of, raised up properly. That home is so ordered. If the husband comes home, it's a peaceful home. It's all right there. God's word is being magnified and lived out. You know, as we meet one to another and love one another, and as we uphold one another and do all we can for each other, God's word is being upheld and magnified in our lives. And how easy it is to do for those that love us. And how it is easy to do for those that do for us. But what are those about those that despitefully use you, persecute you, speak all manner of evil against you? What about the love? What about the life then? Where does it lay? This is the reality that we've come to. The closing of time is coming. And we're looking for a people that's not just got a testimony and a bunch of words that I follow a prophet and I believe a message. But there's a life that's being vindicated back forth. That's why the Holy Spirit, through our precious pastor, has put the emphasis on you must be born again. The Holy Spirit must be living, and it must be evident in our lives that it's there. And how the prophet Paul, through all of his writings, expressed this greatly as you go through the New Testament and read. But this is in the Message of Prisoner. And as I just was meditating and praying about some things and just thought we'd read this and go back through some scriptures.
Yes,
and Brother Branham speaking, and right before he started his message, this is on paragraph 46 in the Message of Prisoner, July 17th, 1963. He said, now I can imagine Paul when he wrote this letter to Philemon, how he was sitting in a jail down there in a dungeon of this city, a prisoner. And he could well know by his position what the word meant. He was surrounded by bars, and he could only be let free if someone would let him go free. And he knew what it was to be a prisoner then and again. And I believe that the apostle meant just a little, not exactly addressing his present condition as being a prisoner of his physical being sitting there in this jail. But I believe he was referring to his being, his spirit, his will being a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Now, we're all born a free moral agent to make any decision what we wish to do. God justly does that because he put every man on the same basis, or he put the first man on the wrong basis that he put on free moral agency. See? Just exactly tonight, like Adam and Eve, there's no different right or wrong sets before either one of us, life, death. We can make our choice. It's up to you to make it, see? And that's the way Adam and Eve did, see? And they made the wrong choice, and now by that, they put the whole human race under death and the penalty of death. And then God came down in the form of man and took that death and paid the penalty of death. And his subjects that desired to be free could go free. Now, if he took us without the same way that he did Adam and Eve, just pulled us through something and said, I'll save you whether you want to be saved or not, then he put Adam and Eve on the wrong basis, you see. But each one of us has to choose this day between death and life, and we can do it. As I just expressed, if your life will prove exactly what side you're on. I don't care what side you say you're on. What you do every day proves what you are. You've heard the old saying, your life is so loud, I can't hear your testimony, and your actions is so loud. I've always believed in shouting and jumping, but I've always said, don't jump no higher than you live, because the world is going to watch that, see? You must just jump as high as you live, so because somebody is watching you. And people won't come to church. Many of them, they won't do it. And some of them not coming is sincere people. They've seen so much corruption in the church until they don't want to have anything to do with it. And many times we're speaking on a flat thought of that. You can hardly blame them, see? Because of the way people act. They call themselves Christian. They're the greatest stumbling block the world has got. The man and woman who professes to be a Christian and lives something different from their profession. And I was thinking about this. This word's been brought many times. We've heard that read many times. But as we grow in Christ, and as our pastor's been speaking of maturity, do we see the leadership of the Holy Spirit taking me over? Do I see the results that it closes my mouth when it should? And maybe keeps me in a spot where I'm listening to the Holy Spirit before I pass judgment or before I move or before I make a motion to do something? Am I waiting on the Holy Spirit to see what he thinks and what he says about it? You know, oftentimes we, as human beings, we raise up through school, we're taught we have to react. And we've got to do this, and we've got to take care of this situation, and somebody's got to do it, or it ain't going to get done. But you know, God has a program. And everything that happens in life, it happens at a human race. And you can watch the human race. Everything that happens causes a reaction from everyone. But how God should be, our lives should be changing to reflect that every move we make, this Holy Spirit is evident that it's in our life and in our speaking and in our talking and in the motions that we make throughout life. It should truly be able to be seen at this age of our maturity as we're growing that God is on the seat of our heart and that the Holy Spirit is in control of every action I'm making. But I'd like to go back here to Romans, the 12th chapter, and begin here at the 4th verse and read a few things. That if we profess to be a Christian, these things should be evident in our lives. And a kind of a measuring up, we'll just read what he said. I'm not pointing any fingers at you, you're not pointing fingers at me, but we'll just take God's word and read it in the way that God made sure it was put on these pages. And each one of us can measure ourselves up and ask ourselves, where do I fall in these situations? But here in the 12th, starting at the 4th verse, the 12th chapter of Romans, he said, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. And if you look, I looked that up in the dictionary, and just so you know, it's pretense. Let your love be without any pretense. Let it be genuine, what God has placed in your heart, one to another. Not saying something with our mouth in our life is expressing something else. But God's love, the love that he showed to me, I can show to someone else. And Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing an instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. But be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceit. And if you look up conceit, it says it's the excessive pride in oneself. And if you look back up there where Paul said, but to think soberly as God has dealt grace to each one of us. To make sure that we never get puffed up in ourselves thinking, I'm just a little bit better than the next person. I got just a little bit more understanding than the next person. Never raising ourselves above one another. But recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, and if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as Paul is speaking, you can just see the wisdom of the leadership of the Holy Spirit placing that out there for us. And if you would, let's turn over to Titus, the second chapter. Paul giving some instructions to Titus here as they were setting up. He was a young pastor. And he started here at the second chapter. He says, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and in love, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient, unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present worlds, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Look at Paul's telling Timothy to stress these things. Make sure they were evident, that they knew that this is the life that the results should be showing through them. And he goes on to the third chapter. He says, and put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, and to speak evil of no man. And you know, that really just jumped out at me when I read that. When you really sit down and begin to dwell on that, how maybe we've let our tongues wag just a little too much. If you'll just sit down and think about that, to speak evil of no man. And you know, I was thinking, just to put that into perspective a little bit, you know, the prophet Paul in this situation with Ananias, realizing all Paul had done, and God sending him down there to Ananias, and Ananias being a prophet, and how he spoke back to the Lord and said, Lord, I have heard many things. Now, Ananias was down there consulting with the Lord. But what about the other people around that had heard Paul was gathered down there in that house? What do you think? How many people do you think was gathered around saying, oh, ain't no way this ain't going to happen. You know who's down there? You know who he's got down there? And you know, as we think about this, and you may say, oh, I would never think that way about somebody. And I got to thinking, you know, our pastor just innocently, the other night he was up here ministering, and he mentioned a brother that had once came here. And he said what he did about him. He always here, the one that's been in jail and things. And I just had a small thought cross my mind of, you know, we saw that young man's life, and we saw what had happened and what had been done. And, you know, the thought just for a faint moment crossed my mind, you know, could he be elect? Just a small thought. But the Holy Spirit checked my heart instantly. And, you know, who am I to judge? The Scripture tells us, judge not lest ye be judged. Ananias had a direct vision from God to go down there and pray for Paul. Many people sat around and saw the circumstance, and I'm sure there was a lot of voicing going around all about. And even probably for a while when Paul began to preach, I'm sure there was a lot of wagging tongues. And you know how careful we ought to be, because we don't know God's plan. And we're headed into those last few moments of time. And if God's got an elected seed laying out there, we don't know what they've been into. We might know them and say, oh, there's no way in the world God will ever deal with that person. But we might be tested to see. Am I going to wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit and hold my tongue to see what God will do? Or am I going to be the all-knowing one and know the situation? There is no way this is possible. You know, and then to be guilty that I have spoke evil of some man that maybe God said that's one of my own. Amen. You know, the precious word is becoming so magnified.
Yes, it is.
As we look at these things and we hear these scriptures, we've all went to church for many, many years. We've heard different pastors' opinions. We've heard teachers' opinions. We've heard people that claim to be really religious' opinions of things. Different doctrines and all the manners of things. But God's word stands true as our only guide and our only judge laying here before us. And how, as we hear these things, we need to pull our minds back and focus down. It doesn't matter what some man is saying or what somebody else feels about the situation. And how easy it is for us to take sides with somebody. Somebody come to you and whisper in this ear, did you hear about brother so-and-so? And us to quickly let our tongue begin to start to go. But as Paul, we must become a prisoner of the Holy Spirit, because in this last few moments of time, we don't know for sure exactly what God wants to do. And how wasted time it would be if we came this far up the road and then subjected our opinion to who can be saved and who can't be because of how righteous I feel I am. And how careful we should take God's precious word into our hearts. And how the Holy Spirit just checked me on that. That was on Thursday evening. And then as our precious brother came Sunday and he dove off into that and just some other things I've been reading, I thought, Lord, forgive me for ever voicing an opinion or thinking because of what my natural eyes have seen that you can't take care of a situation or you can't turn that situation around. And how careful we must be. You know, we get so caught up in our own way of thinking. And you know, when you look in this virus going around, and I often wonder, you know, we get so paranoid that we might get a germ and we might catch this thing. And we forget that we serve a living God.
Amen.
I believe we take every precaution. It says right there to obey the magistrates and the principalities, those that's got rule over you. They put the mandate of mask in place. We do the best we can to abide by that. They put these things in there. We do all we can. But my defense is not depending on some mask or what some man can do for me, but what God can do for me.
Amen.
And you know, what if a precious brother all of a sudden called me deathly sick at home and would say, brother, I think I've got the COVID, but I really need you to come over here. I've fallen and I can't get up. Or a sister to a sister. Would my love and my faith in God let me rush over there to help that person?
Amen.
Or would I hold back? Oh, I can't go over there. I'll get it and I'll give it to this and I'll give it to that. But what about the God we serve that said he would provide all our needs and meet all of our needs
Amen.
And never leave us nor forsake us? But we forget those things.
Amen.
And we live like a people in fear of everything because we've forgotten the God that brought Moses across the Red Sea can do the same thing for you and I tonight
Amen.
In anything we need.
Yes.
But we've forgotten, we've let God's word become of none effect to us because we've put him on a shelf and we've made him of littleness. But that God lives tonight, the same God that was with Brother Branham on every trip he took and made sure he was protected is with us. And there may be more viruses. I don't know what will take place, but it's not about the focus of that. But we don't even consult God's word. We run to the newspaper. We run to the media to try to find out what our best source of action is. Go to prayer with God and let him take care of it. He'll handle the situation. I was with a man that had COVID. Stood face to face with him. And knew he had it. At the time I didn't know he had it. But I found out an hour later. But God protected me. I had never had no problems. It's been 4 weeks ago. God knows. He knows our hearts. And how many times have we come in contact with that very thing walking through a grocery store and God's protected you and you didn't even know it? That's why every day when we get out of bed, we ought to thank him for his mercy and his grace and say, Lord, it's you that's leading me this day. I'll do all I can that I'm supposed to do. But my faith's not in this man-made stuff down here. But it's in Jesus Christ. And that's why we become so dependent on medicines and doctors. We let that become our answer. Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I got my medicine today. I feel good. Nothing wrong with medicine, as our brother said. But where's my faith? And what's my hope in? But oh my, we let go of that. Paul, look at all he faced. Where was his hope? He wasn't laying with some man. But it was in God, rooted and founded. And the Holy Spirit was there to back it up every time it was needed that he was on the scene. And we've got to be the people that writes and finishes that second book of Acts. Amen. Oh my, is our faith anywhere close to what it ought to be? Oh, how short it looks, as our brother said, when you look at that maturity level. Lord, I've got a long way to go. And Lord, here am I. Please, oh Lord, give me the revelation that I need of every word. Amen. And strengthen my faith, Lord, that I would stand as for you. It's easy for me to stand up here when I'm feeling good and all healthy to say, oh, I've got this whipped. As we sing the little song, God on the Mountain, life's easy when you're up here. But what about down here? Is my faith going to hold? That's what I'm looking into this word for. Because if a little bubble can ripple and just cause me to fall all to pieces, I'll never stand for God when the press is really there. And we must see the reality of God's precious word. There's a reality to it. And that's where that leadership and that prisonership of the Holy Spirit, him having the full preeminence in our hearts and lives, amen, is going to come into effect. Hallelujah. Amen. As we go on here, to speak evil of no man, second verse, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness of love of God of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Paul knew, amen. And nobody had a greater experience than Paul knowing. Oh, his conscience had been cleaned and he knew where he stood. Amen. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yes. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Amen. And these things are good and profitable unto Amen. Men. Amen. You know, God's word is powerful.
Yes, it is.
But saints, we've come a long way. And some of you older ones have seen things have never seen God do. And you know, as you think of our precious brother was here, he shook hands with the prophet. He sat at his dinner table. He spoke with him. He saw God move through his life mightily. I didn't get the opportunity to see that, but by God's grace, he imparted to me the revelation to believe.
Amen.
That God sent a prophet in this age. And the things that he'd done through him that I read about, God has vindicated it and backed it up that that was truth. And that this word was to be followed and lived by.
Amen.
And you know, it places something down in my life, in your heart. You don't do this because your parents do. You don't do this because your husband does. You don't do this because your wife does. It's an individual affair. And each person has got to find that place in their life. Children can't go on mommy and daddy's shirt tail. It's got to come to a place we gather here together as a group. But it's an individual affair. But somebody's got to be determined that they're going to make that goal. And going to be exactly what Jesus Christ said we would be. And God, don't waste time. The word comes across this pulpit for one reason. Because there is an elected seed laying here somewhere. And somebody is going to fulfill this word exactly as it said it should be. So don't put your eyes on something that's not lining up with the word. But put your eyes on God's word and make your life line up to that.
Amen.
And make sure that you're pointed in the right direction and let God take care of the rest.
Yeah.
But oh my, as we see this taking place and moving. Amen. I've already been a half hour. Amen. And we see this shaping up. We've got to look and see the reality of this life that he said would be. And you know, Justin, let's see here if we can shorten this up a little bit. Amen. Just to go along with things, as I said, our brother's been bringing, this is in the message, the token. And Brother Brandon was speaking here about paragraph 122, and we've heard this illustration many times, but just think about it for a minute. As I said last night up in New York at one of the messages, if I told you that Shakespeare lived in me, I would do the works of Shakespeare because I couldn't help it. But I'm no more myself. I am dead. Shakespeare and I can't live together in here. Shakespeare was a poet, and I'm a minister. We can't live together. But if I'm dead to myself, then Shakespeare lives in me. The works of Shakespeare I'll do. And as our brother was typing that this morning, the branches bear the fruit, but they're only energized by the vine. And it's got to have the life of that vine to get that fruit out there on the branch.
Yeah.
But I'm dead to myself. Shakespeare lives in me. The work of Shakespeare I'll do. The life of Shakespeare in me will be lived out like Shakespeare. And then if the life of Beethoven lived in me, I would be Beethoven. And if the life of John Dillinger lived in me, I would be John Dillinger. That's right. And the life of Jesus Christ lives in the person. They become identified with him. It's Christ in you, not a church member, not a system, but a resurrected power. It's the Holy Ghost is a token upon you that your life says amen to every scripture. The promise is written in there. And as you are not yourself no more, you are Christ. You don't think your own thoughts. You don't think your thoughts. You say, I think. You have no thought coming. The life that was in Christ is in you. The mind that was in Christ is in you. And the works that was in Christ is in you. Christ himself is in you. You're dead. Your life is hidden God through Christ. Sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. You are not your own.
Amen.
And as we see this coming to place, and we see all the instructions laid out here, what this word says to do. As a human being, and our brother, I think he's just got the little paint can down here, but we'll just kind of make something up. But if I had something on my automobile that I was needing to strip off, some kind of, he's loaned me some things to strip some products off the cars. But if I had a pinstripe on my car that I wanted to remove, and I looked up a manufacturer of something, and their prescription laid out there said, if you apply it like this, it'll take it right off. And maybe I didn't read the fine print, and I missed a step, and it didn't work. Well, I'm going to be pretty upset as a human being, and I'm going to call that manufacturer, and I'm going to tell them, I bought your product, and you guaranteed me it would remove this certain thing, and it didn't happen. Well, that manufacturer is just going to say, well, let's go through the steps. Did you do this? Did you do that? Well, when that manufacturer lays down all three steps, that product will work exactly the way they said it would. And in the human nature, we get pretty irate when things don't work the way it was told it was supposed to work for us. How about God's word? He laid out a prescription and told us exactly what the Holy Ghost would do in our lives, how it would change us, it would take us over, and all that it would produce. But we don't see the results that come, and with somebody else's fault, it's some other thing. It's because we didn't take the antidote the way that it said it should. But we don't worry about that. But if we would just go back to the manufacturer and restudy the subscription, we'd get the results that it said it would produce. Because it's time tested and we've seen the results all down through time. What God said he would do, he's never failed to do. And how we should put more faith in what this precious word says. But you know, we as human beings, you sisters who come to the instruments, we get so caught up in modern day living that we forget that we serve a God who placed down in us all the equipment we needed to get through this life. And we weren't sent here just to live a life as human beings. We're going to have jobs, families, and do all that other human beings do. But I was sent here to prove that Jesus Christ could have the preeminence of a body of believers in this last age. Yes. And He would fulfill every word that He said He would through their life. And by God's grace, I've seen my name in that book. And realize that I'm one of them, that by His mercy and grace, I feel that draw and I've got that desire burning. And I want to feed it. I don't want to get satisfied that, oh, I look pretty good. I dress right. My church is on fire. My church is doing great. My church this, my church that. I've got the best pastor. But what about my life? Amen. My life as an individual, does it match what God's word does? Maybe my pastor's life does. Maybe my church family, a lot of their lives match that. What about my life? Where do I stand? Because that's what God's coming back for, and that alone. And by God's grace, I want to be able to stand there with boldness on that day. And oh, able to lay there when this old world is shaking, whatever's happening around me. And maybe be able to take that little Bible and just hold it under your arm and say, thank you, Lord. I'm waiting on you. Amen. It don't matter, but we get so worried over every little thing. But if we would just surrender our minds and bodies to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice and truly give up our own thoughts and ideas and come back to this precious word and forget the things that this modern day America is trying to give us and all that they've got. It don't matter who's going to be president in 4 years. It don't matter who's going to be governor or whatever. Jesus Christ has got a program and that program's winding down, and I want to make sure that I'm standing ready for that come catching away. Everything else will work according to God's plan. I want to make sure that my name is being proven, that it's laying in the plan that was written right here before the foundation of this world was ever formed. That's what we're looking for, saints, a reality to why we live, why we're here. We're fixing to take a heavenly journey. We sing about it. We've seen it. We've waited for it. And it's just around the corner. But don't get weary in well-doing. But give God the glory and the praise and reach out to Him if you've got a short place in your life. The word comes, it's sharp, it's cutting, but it's there to show me now my judgment. But oh my, I can see that I'm lining up. Oh, what a happy man I'll be. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. You know, just a few words of exhortation, but by God's grace, we've got to be a people to stand and stand some more. We've come to a place in the road where it's time to separate the men from the boys. Amen. And the truth will show forth. His truth is marching on.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
As our pastor comes. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
His truth's marching on. Amen. We're so thankful for the word tonight. My wonderful to me. Amen. I'm sure it was to you. So we appreciate the word of God. And may we have, this day is done now. It's history. And may we be able to apply every word to our hearts. Amen. And Jesus Christ, see it lived through us. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Lord Jesus. Yes, it's glory, glory, hallelujah. Truly your truth continues to march on. We're so thankful, Lord, this day that you have again blessed us. Truly we have felt your precious Holy Spirit. By grace and mercy, we've been able to have your word, Lord, given to us. The inspired word of God. And Lord, again, by mercy and grace, you've given us the desire. The desire to come and listen, Lord. And Father, the desire to see it all made manifest through our lives. We appreciate you so much now. We know as we leave this little place, we may face some tests and some trials, Lord, this week now, before the next service, if you should tarry. But Lord, give us strength and understanding and revelation of whatever it takes, Lord, to come out of these different tests and trials with victory. That, Lord, truly it can be victory in Jesus, my Savior. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now and watch over us, keep us safe. Watch over those that have to drive a distance, Lord, to get home. Lord, may we all be in the unity of the faith. And be such a love holding this little place together. That, Lord Jesus, you could dwell and have your preeminence. That, Father, for the love that people see in our hearts for each other, Lord, they'll know that we're new disciples. We pray now thy will be done as we commit ourselves unto thee. In thy glorious, most precious name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sing it one more time. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I don't know what it is, but it seems like that's one of them songs you just want to keep on going and singing verses with it, you know. But that's good. May God richly bless you. Be safe. Take care. Lord willing, we'll see you Thursday evening. Amen. God's love be with you.